Let us pray. Almighty and ever living God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what is before, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please, please don't take this the wrong way, but in an era of emails and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat, it's a great relief to look out and know that I don't have to begin the sermon by explaining what a letter is. In an age lacking our instant communication, Paul wrote lots of letters. However, his two letters to Timothy and the one to Titus are different to the others. They were written to individual people. Apart from the short letter to Philemon, the rest of Paul's letters were all written to churches. The earliest official list of New Testament books says that these three letters were written from personal feeling and affection. And although they were written as private and personal letters, they have a relevance and an importance which reaches out in such a way that they have become very significant for others, even today. There was a great saying of the time that a young Jewish boy was as likely to forget his own name as he was to forget the law. In the first verses of our reading from 2 Timothy this morning, Paul commands Timothy to remember all the teaching he had received from his mother and to remain faithful to the Holy Scriptures. Timothy's father was Greek and his mother was Jewish, and it seems that his mother had the greater influence on young Timothy. He would have been taught the Scriptures from the cradle, right through childhood and beyond. The Scriptures, of course, he learned would be what we know as the Old Testament. So, for us today, how much more important it is to remember and to follow the command of Paul to remain faithful to Holy Scripture, since it now contains the wonderful Gospels of Jesus. Paul takes time to warn Timothy to study Scripture, which is only Scripture, which is God-breathed. At the time, there were a number of quite wrong and quite destructive beliefs running around. They were being taken up by many in the early churches. Indeed, some of these notions were backed up by writings that completely distorted Bible teaching. Paul regarded these ideas as man-made and not from God. In the reading, he points us clearly to the usefulness of Scripture in five ways: gaining wisdom, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and serving righteousness. I'd like to reflect briefly on these five points. Firstly, by reading and understanding Holy Scripture, we will gain the wisdom that will take us closer to God. In his book, The Christian Response, Michel Quoist, the great French working priest, wrote about Scripture, and here's what he wrote. Whether you realize it or not, you are hungry for the bread of the Gospels. You crave words of life, of eternal life. Respect this inner hunger you experience, this call of love, asking to be loved by the God who is love. You are experiencing a hunger for the living word who came down from heaven and is communicated by the Gospels. Perhaps you will object, I speak to God and he never listens. You are mistaken. From all eternity, you have been called to dialogue with God. At every stage in human history, God has sought to enter into dialogue with man. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, spoken in times past to the prophets, last of all, in these days, has spoken to us by his Son. If you find yourself complaining of the silence of God, it's because you don't open your ears and your heart to the words of the Gospels. It's in the Gospels that God wishes to enter into conversation with you, answer his call. It is in this way that you will enter into conversation with Jesus Christ. God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, delights in revealing himself to man through the medium of Scripture. Are you attentive to this revelation God makes of himself in Jesus Christ? At some point in the year, all of us, from one source or another, receive a letter marked something like personal and important. I cannot imagine that many of you will pick it up, stare at it for a few moments and discard it unopened. Our younger daughter does, but that's a story for another day. Just imagine if in tomorrow's post you receive a personal letter from Jesus. Would you put it down unopened? Studies show that most Bibles remain on shelves or in cupboards, untouched, as they say, by human hand. How then is it possible to hear what Jesus Christ has to say for us today? You can receive his words of life over and over again. Their depths are unfathomable. The word of God is living and efficient and is sharper than anything else known on this earth. Secondly, the scriptures are useful for teaching. That's a simple truth, that only in the New Testament have we any picture of Jesus. It is only there we have any account of his life and any record of his great teaching. For this very reason, it is unanswerable that whatever views, whatever differing opinions we might have about other parts of the Bible, it is quite impossible for the church or any member of it worldwide to do without the Gospels. Now, it's perfectly true to say, as I have done in the past, that Christianity is not founded on a printed book, but on a living and present person. But the fact remains that in all the world, the only place we have of a first-hand account of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is in the New Testament. That's why we should take time to read, to reflect, and to understand the message that God has for us. Now, I realize that in a busy world, it's not always easy to sit down and pick up what can be a daunting book. So if you haven't already thought about a house group, or one of the Alpha courses, or Psalms, Prayers of the Heart, or any other study group that's run in the church, please consider it. By taking part in such a group, you will find that Christian learning walks hand in hand with that other great pillar of the Christian church, fellowship. The scriptures are useful for teaching. Thirdly, Paul claims the scriptures are useful for rebuking. That does not mean the scriptures are valuable for finding fault. What Paul means is that the scriptures are valued for allowing understanding of what's gone wrong and then finding true commitment to convince someone or yourself of the error of their ways and then pointing yourself or them in the right direction. Earlier this week, I came across an old story which concerned a colporteur. No, neither did I. I looked it up, and in the story, it was someone who makes his living selling religious material. And it seems this man was traveling around Sicily selling books when he was set upon by a band of robbers. Finding nothing they considered of value, they demanded at gunpoint that the poor man burn his books so at least they could have a little heat. The man asked if he could read a little from each book before throwing them onto the bonfire. And from the first book, he read the 23rd Psalm. From the second, the parable of the Good Samaritan. From the next, Sermon on the Mount. And from a fourth, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. At the end of each reading, the leader of the robber gang said, "That's a good book. We'll not burn that one." In the end, not one book was burned. Not only that, but the robbers disappeared into the woods with the Bibles. Years passed and the colporteur was still selling books. And passing through a small, poor village one day, he took the opportunity to visit the local church and recognized the minister. It was the leader of the robber gang who had been transformed by the reading of the Bible. It is beyond doubt and beyond argument that the scriptures can change people, can convince people to understand how things can get better, and can convince them of the power of God. Fourthly, Paul claims the scriptures are useful for correcting. Now, the real meaning of this, that all theologies, all ethical teaching, all theories must be tested against the teaching of the Bible. If they stand in opposition to our understanding of scriptures, then they must be resisted. Now, a word of caution here. God gave us the gifts of intellect, the ability to ask questions, the desire to seek new things, the enthusiasm to develop and grow. It's our Christian duty to use these gifts, to use our minds creatively. It's our reflection, speculation, and discussion are Christian necessities. It's our duty to make the scriptures relevant to those around us. As we well know, that's not easy. It creates disruptions. It can disrupt the church at all levels. We cannot, however, seek the path of least resistance and never change. At all times, the acid test must be the teaching of Jesus Christ as the scriptures present themselves to us. Paul makes a fifth and final point. The study of scriptures trains a person in righteousness until they are ready for every good work. Now, I looked up my dictionary to find another way of describing being righteous. The first part of the definition was morally right or justifiable, which is, of course, quite correct. But I felt didn't sit well with what I thought Paul was meaning. They implied a wee bit of superiority or was like us. Then I saw the words in the next part of the definition. Very good, excellent, genuine. A study of scripture should engage us not only to become the best people we can be, but mark us out as the real deal, the genuine article. It's at that point, when we are involved in helping others, that we are marked out as genuine Christians, not involved for any reason other than we have been called by the great example of Jesus to go out and to serve. We must study the Bible to make ourselves useful to God and to others. The study of the Bible should never be selfish and simply for our own good. We read the Bible so that we become better people for God. Better so that we can reach out to bring others to the fellowship of the church. The fellowship of the church where they can come to know true love, true friendship, and true happiness. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. But we cannot be content until we are on fire to bring others to know of God's love. Amen.